saying all the things that would get you fired. That's why you listen. Here's Gruber.
I don't know if I ever heard the word autism when I was growing up. I don't remember hearing it until I was an adult. The word autism, and of course, I've known people that have autism. I've known people's children that have autism, and obviously still do. I think everybody's familiar with it now because it's become so prevalent, the diagnosis. And next month, April, is National Autism Awareness Month for 2019 here in the United States. It'll begin on Monday, April 1st, and conclude April the 30th. My next guest, Jeffrey Ford, the Vedic IQ Guild's 2018 Genius of the Year, World Genius Directory, and 2016 Genius of the Year, according to those folks, also in America, and TED speaker. Jeffrey, welcome back.
Happy to be back.
Now, you have been told that you're on the, what do they call it, the autism spectrum. And so you, being you, have thought about this a lot and evaluated it and looked at the statistics and the facts, and you've concluded a few things along the way.
Yes, I have. I've concluded that the autism spectrum disorder diagnosis is an absolute crock, to be quite frank, and I'll explain why I say that. The American Psychiatric Association, they published the DSM, the
Right.
Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. That's what defines what the different mental disorders are. In the DSM-1, autism was only for children 6 years old and under, and it was linked with schizophrenia. It was the same thing in the DSM-2. In the DSM-3, they started including people who were then labeled as MR into the diagnosis, and it's no longer linked with schizophrenia. It was its own diagnosis. But then it had the people with the classical autism and the people who were labeled as MR. Then the DSM-4 comes out, and people like myself, people with Asperger's, folks like Albert Einstein, Michelangelo, Sir Isaac Newton, these folks became part of the diagnosis then, too. Now we're in the era of the DSM-5, where it's an autism spectrum disorder diagnosis, and everybody is just all lumped together. And that's not a very distinct diagnosis.
Well, let me ask you about this. Let's talk about the history of diagnosis, because what you've described from DSM-1 to DSM-5, these are very different things.
Very different things. And that's why the numbers are soaring, because when you take one diagnosis and then you add a whole new group to it, you're going to have a lot more people. The amount of people in America who are labeled as mentally retarded just plummeted that year. And the amount of people with autism, skyrocketed. It's not a coincidence.
No, you did number shifting is what you did there. So let me ask you this. Who do you think, or what do you think autism actually is? You, with Asperger's syndrome, you don't believe that is you, but what is autism to you as defined by you?
I think autism originally was considered classical autism, I believe to be the only true autism, and that would be the people who are rocking back and forth, staring out into the distance. And a lot of times they'll hit their head against the wall or the floor for stimulation. They may be verbal, lightly verbal, or they might be completely nonverbal. That is what autism originally was. And they started including people with that was called MR.
But hold on. I need to ask you a question there, Jeffrey. I just don't mean to cut you off, but let me jump in. And that diagnosis would be made when they're less than 6 years of age.
Correct.
All right, so but they have that condition or that challenge for the rest of their life.
Yes.
Okay, just so I'm clear, go on.
We're on the same page.
Okay, and so that's classical autism, but then they start lumping in all of these other issues. Okay, so what is Asperger's syndrome? What are these other diagnoses that are making a mental retardation diagnosis plummet and autism diagnosis skyrocket?
Well, Asperger's would be people like myself who have social challenges and people with sensory issues also. You don't have to even have sensory issues. And also people who like to do things repetitively. If you look at the actual diagnosis for Asperger's, even that's somewhat questionable. Because they'll ask questions like, when you were younger, did you like to roll the wheels on your car, or toy cars repetitively, or spin the propellers on your toy airplanes? I think most little boys
I like doing that. Yeah, I like doing that. Who didn't? Of course.
Yeah.
And I also made the vroom vroom sound if it helps anybody. just throwing that out there. But let's be back to seriousness, though. This autism spectrum puts people at great difficulty. If you're a special ed teacher or you're a counselor or you're a mental health professional, you've got all of this wide range to deal with, and they want to call it all one thing. And that makes it tough on you. It makes it tough on the people that have what you would call classic autism.
They have absolutely no idea who's going to be walking through the door. If you just know that someone has an autism spectrum disorder, it could be someone incredibly cognitively impaired or someone who's a budding genius walking into your classroom. Same thing with healthcare providers as well. They don't know until they get to know them. And it can put people in great danger because let's say an emergency responder shows up to an accident and the neighbor says, oh, that person's autistic. They don't know if it's a highly functioning person who deserves agency or perhaps someone of lower functioning who might need to have different decisions made for them. And we used to have these definitions like Asperger's, autism, and MR, and people, that was honest. People knew exactly where they stood. And now people have no idea.
Yeah, people have no idea because it's... You throw it all in the bucket, you pick something out. I understand your point. And the constantly changing definition negatively impact those who are now defined as being autistic, who wish to become fully employed. I mean, you've got this label, and that's got to have some... I mean, if you're a person like yourself, right? And all of a sudden, well, you've got this, Jeffrey, and you've got that. You've got this label. Then you've got this opinion of yourself that maybe you're damaged goods or you've got this emotional baggage as a result that maybe shouldn't be said at all. Am I wrong about that?
I think you're correct. I really do, because a lot of employers, they don't understand what autism is. And we can forgive them because they keep changing the definition of autism. So people really don't know. And if their experience has been with people who are lower functioning, they might be very hesitant to hire someone who's higher functioning simply out of ignorance. Not stupidity, they just don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And yes, we do need an Autism Awareness Month, but we wouldn't need it so badly if they just decide what autism actually is.
And stay with it. All right, so Autism Awareness Month coming up in April here in the United States, 2019, April 1st to the 30th. So we'll talk more about this, Jeffrey, because I think you're bringing good information. I mean, you're a guy who's in the arena there. And I think because of that, you have a lot to offer to the conversation. I greatly appreciate it. Real quickly, I'll give you the last word, 15 seconds.
I would like to also add that people who are lower functioning autistic individuals can be tremendous assets in the workplace. They're dependable, hard workers, and they'd like to do repetitive tasks. Everybody counts.
There you go. Everybody counts or nobody counts. Jeffrey Ford, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Bob Thomas, Chief Operating Officer for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. All across the state, businesses have joined the Michigan Chamber to be a part of the most influential business voice in Lansing. As a member, companies become part of a statewide network of small business, medium-sized companies, and industry leaders focused on improving pro-business legislation within state government. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all that we do. Together, we can make a difference, and together, we ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.